From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, July 11th. Coming up, more children with sickle cell disease now survive into adulthood, but then they're faced with a system not designed for them. We'll learn more from SideFX Public Media in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. An Illinois lawmaker wants to prevent minors who have hurt themselves or others, or tried to, from legally buying guns. Alex Degman reports.
State Representative Deb Conroy calls it the white flag law. She says it addresses mental health situations with minors that existing red flag laws miss. Minors who attempt to or succeed in hurting themselves or someone else could not get a firearm owner's ID card until they turn 24. Conroy acknowledges that'll be a tough sell, but says that youth who've shown such aggression need more restrictions when it comes to guns.
We have this phenomenon of shooters, and, you know, statistically, well over 95% of them are males between the ages of 18 and 22. This will add a layer of protection.
Conroy says she believes this age restriction could be the first of its kind nationwide. I'm Alex Degman.
Illinois is receiving nearly 5,000 doses of the Jynneos monkeypox vaccine from the national stockpile. Dr. Connie Austin is Illinois' state epidemiologist. Austin says not everyone needs a monkeypox vaccine.
The people that we are concerned with getting the monkeypox vaccine are people who have had close contact with someone with monkeypox or people who are in high-risk groups.
Austin says one high-risk group is men who have sex with men, but monkeypox can affect anyone. Uncomfortable symptoms such as itchiness and fatigue tend to be mild and last from 2 to 4 weeks. Dr. Austin recommends that people who think they have monkeypox or have been exposed to it contact their healthcare provider. A new coal mine planned for southeast Champaign County is no longer moving forward. Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin reports.
The Bulldog Mine has been in the works for more than a decade. Sunrise Coal, an Indiana-based energy company, planned to dig the mine near Homer and Seidel. They were granted a permit in 2019, but didn't begin construction in time, causing the permit to expire. Sue Smith is the president of Stand Up to Coal, a local grassroots organization that formed in opposition to the Bulldog Mine. She says this is a big win for local residents.
Landowners with groundwater wells can rest easier knowing that their drinking water supply is safe from coal contamination. Farmers and rural residents can breathe easier without the risk of subsidence.
She says the group was also worried about the biological impacts to the Salt Fork of the Vermilion River, which is home to many wildlife species. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
Sunrise Coal did not respond to a request for comment. Two more Champaign County residents have died due to COVID-19. Both victims were females in their 70s. There's a second and third deaths announced over the last week in the county. The last COVID-related death prior to last week was announced in early June. These deaths bring the total death toll to 299. There are currently 492 active COVID cases in Champaign County, with 14 residents hospitalized. Across Illinois, public health officials announced more than 27,000 cases over the past week, including 48 additional deaths. Still to come, a closer look at the challenges facing people with sickle cell disease as they move into adulthood. That story from Farah Yousri is next on 217 Today.
In Season 8 of the Masterpiece Mystery Series Endeavor, Sean Evans returns as Detective Sergeant Endeavor Morse. It's 1971, and the Oxford City Police Team is investigating suspected IRA retaliations, the murder of a local cab driver, and the strange killing of a college fellow. When Endeavor begins struggling with his inner demons, the team wonders if he'll ever be able to pull himself back together. Learn how you can stream all 8 seasons of the show at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Sickle cell disease was long considered a pediatric illness because many patients did not survive beyond childhood. But health interventions in the U.S. have made it possible for people with sickle cell to live well into adulthood. The problem is many who age out of pediatric care are faced with a system not designed for them. SideFX Public Media's Farah Yousri reports.
Philomena Gappo gave birth to twin boys, Paul and Luis, in the early 80s in Kentucky. They were diagnosed with sickle cell disease a few months after they were born. It's a genetic disorder that causes blood cells to become sticky and jammed up in veins, which can starve major organs of oxygen, something that's extremely painful and dangerous. And so the twins were in and out of the hospital for years.
They don't go in together. one goes in, then he comes out and the other one follows. So, you know, we're in the hospital, you know, like all the time, you know, every month we're there.
Progress on treating sickle cell disease has been slow. Experts say this is due to systemic racism. The vast majority of sickle cell patients in the U.S. are Black. And so even as recently as the 1970s, nearly one out of every three kids with sickle cell died before the age of five. This changed when Congress invested millions to establish sickle cell centers for kids and do more research. And that dramatically improved outcomes for children, which helped families like the Gapos.
We had very good, compassionate pediatric physicians. We just take it day to day and we didn't really know what we were doing, but we had a lot of support.
It was tough, but they had more resources than many. And they felt the system was built to help until the twins became adults.
With no transition, they were out of the house too.
Filomena remembers when her son Luis got an infection that went untreated and he ended up in the hospital, but specialized doctors were no longer coordinating his care. She says things got so bad so fast.
So, you know, he died from complications of the sickle cell, and I was the last person who saw him.
Luis was 20 when he died, and he's not an anomaly. While life expectancy for kids with sickle cell in the U.S. has risen dramatically, for adults, it's actually been falling every single year in recent decades. Studies suggest the deadliest time for sickle cell patients is young adulthood. And there are many reasons for that. Dr. Julie Cantor is the director of the Adult Sickle Cell Program at the University of Alabama. She says sickle cell complications tend to ramp up as patients grow older. And even with robust pediatric sickle cell care, many families drop off and may not see a hematologist for years. That's often because of structural barriers, or perhaps their child's symptoms become manageable.
So they haven't seen their hematologist since they were 10, and they start having sickle cell-related issues when they're 18, 19. They end up seeing whoever.
Whoever might be someone like a family medicine doctor. There is an extreme shortage of sickle cell specialists. Cantor says someone who's unfamiliar with the disease might do things like put patients on really high doses of opioids for long-term use, rather than treating their disease holistically.
The idea that anyone should be able to treat sickle cell disease is as ridiculous to me as anyone should be able to treat breast cancer.
Patients can also end up with other complications, like silent brain strokes, which can affect memory and planning. And when those young patients navigate a complicated system without comprehensive support, the outcomes can be really bad. Paul Gapo is now 37. Losing his twin brother so suddenly at such a young age was like an earthquake to his system. Now he knows to stay on top of his sickle cell care and control what he can.
A lot of times now, anytime I feel sickness or anything, you know, I worry, is this my last time, you know?
He often worries about his next pain crisis, which could strike at any time. The worst part is actually having to go to the ER to get the pain meds he needs. Paul says there have been times he wasn't taken seriously by doctors who didn't seem to understand his illness, and that makes him anxious. He often delays seeking care for as long as possible, which means that when he does end up at the ER...
I've tried everything. There's nothing else I can do. I'm scared. I'm fearing for my life at this point that the only option I have is to go to the emergency room and, you know, hope that I get what I need there, you know.
To help advocate for himself, Paul carries a piece of paper with him at all times. It's his sickle cell treatment protocol, signed by his hematologist.
So as soon as I get to the ER, after they triage me, I just bring out my protocol. This one's have been used a lot, you can see, and I give it to the doctors and I ask them to follow, you know, this guideline.
He's prepared with hard copies everywhere, in his car, backpack, jacket pockets. It's his way to make sure he's believed and taken care of, to minimize the chance things could go wrong. I'm Farah Yusri, Side Effects Public Media.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be mostly sunny today, with a chance of thunderstorms this evening and a high of 90 degrees. A few storms could be severe. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Sonal Soni, Dana Cronin, and Farah Yusri. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.